So I'm going to talk about some work on fully relativistic 3D simulations of accretion onto rotating black holes that I've been doing with Vladimir Paryev and Ben Bromley. So over the years, there's been many, 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 many studies of accretion disks. And most of these studies have used Newtonian gravity to model the potential of the central object. And this is fine if the central objects are not too relativistic, so if you're accreting onto an ordinary star or a white dwarf, or the domain of interest is very far from the central object. But unfortunately, when you want to look at effects that are very close to relativistic objects, the value of these Newtonian simulations becomes somewhat suspect. And for example, here are some here's an example of how just the spin of a hole can affect the structure of an accretion disk. So this is for a counter-rotating hole. So the hole is spinning in a different direction than the disk. This is for a non-spinning hole, and this is for a co-rotating hole. And you can see that the structure, this is for a thick disk accretion. The structure of this of the disk look very different. And in addition, there have been many strong relativistic effects that many people believe they've already measured, like strong redshifts, dragging of inertial frames, and event horizons. So ideally, we would like to do these fully relativistic simulations. Now, as you expect, the equations become much more complicated. That's not a big surprise. But in addition, it's not clear how you properly treat viscosity. For example, when you're using Newtonian gravity and using the alpha prescription, for example, you add something like a diffusion term, a del squared. But this doesn't work in relativity. If you try to do this in relativity, you get information traveling faster than the speed of light, and that causes problems near event horizons, where you want to make sure things go in but don't come out. Now, Peitz and Apple have developed a formalism where the viscosity is causal, but it's very complicated, and no one, as far as I know, has ever actually implemented it. Now, there's some thoughts that magnetic fields might actually be the dominant source of viscosity. And there have been a few simulations in axisymmetry. But in 3D, there haven't been. And it may be a little tricky to do that. There may be some stability issues just with the numerical code. And so in 3D, as far as I know, the only thing that's been done is looking at inviscid disks around non-rotating holes. And this was done by Hall in 91. And so sort of what we're doing is we're advancing this work to rotating holes. So let me briefly describe the method. If you take the equations of continuity and energy momentum conservation, you can write them in a form that looks something like this, where you have d by dt of some hydrodynamic variable plus the divergence of a flux equals the source. And all the derivatives of all the hydrodynamic variables are in the flux. And if you write it in this form, you can apply a cornucopia of high-resolution shock-capturing methods that have been developed for gas dynamics. And in particular, you can guarantee causality. So things go in and they don't come out. For our particular simulations, we use Kerr-Shield coordinates. And the thing that you really want to know about that is that they're regular at the horizon, unlike, for example, Boyer-Lindquist or Schwarzschild. Now, because we have a causal method, we sort of just assume that the interior of the hole is always vacuum, so stuff goes in and then it disappears. And for the outer boundary, we just have a static system, so you have stuff continually heating. So the kinds of simulations that we've done have been a torus that is initially that is analytically stable, but if you evolve it for a little time, there are instabilities that form, and you get accretion. Okay, so it's a good time to. All right. So what I'm showing here is basically the initial density profile, and there's more stuff close to the hole, and then you get these the reds and the yellows are higher density, and the blue is lower density, and this is a cross section of the through the equatorial plane, and this is thick disk accretion. So if we start the simulation. Okay, so we see things moving around. You see a rarefaction wave moving out because stuff falls into the hole. You see some gridding effects. These mostly go away in higher resolution. You see a few dimples here and there, a few little bumps that form, and they form and they eventually disappear. You can see more gridding effects over here. Like I said, that mostly goes away when you go to higher resolution. I just wanted to show this one because it goes for a very long time. You can see sort of another rarefaction wave going out. And this goes on for a while, and then eventually it settles down. And so then we can also look at what the accretion rates are. And if we plot the accretion rate here versus the thickness of the disk. There's actually an analytic guess, I guess, for what the accretion rate should be. And it for our particular equation of state, it's a polytrope gamma equal 4/3. You get something like the accretion rate goes like this is actually the difference of potential between the center and the edge of the torus. It should go something like the power to the fourth. And we see a very different behavior. And actually in two dimensions, so this is an axisymmetry. This is from the paper that I originally showed you by Igomenshev and all. They get a slightly different answer. The points that you want to look at that are comparable to ours are this point. This is a square and a circle, same point. This point, and this point. And so they also get it somewhat flattened, but they see it definitely some sort of correlation or correct, they see sort of the correct slope. As you can see, I mean, three dimensions seems to have changed what the answers should be. So that's sort of where we stand right now. Okay, I'm done with this. Looking to the future, basically we need to do a few more runs to complete the set, including looking at counter-rotating holes. And one of the things that we would hope to do is to look at the emissivity profile. So take a spectra versus time and see what the variability looks like as we evolve this accretion disk. Something a little more speculative, I guess. to look at magnetic fields and maybe try to implement an alpha prescription disk. But those are uncertain and more difficult. Thank you. Yeah, I've done runs with various thickness of the disk and spinning and non-spinning holes, and they all end up sort of looking like that. There are some people who claim to think that there may be counter-rotating holes in nature, but I'm not going to comment on whether that's realistic or not.
Okay, great. So let's stop for lunch. We have a long break until 2.
So what I think we'll do is one of us will walk over to the use center, which is towards the center of the campus, and we'll have lunch there.
Could you give your transparencies to Doug over there?
Do you want an electronic version?
Scan them. Ask Doug, actually. It might just be easier to scan them, whichever.
Would you prefer electronic versions or scan versions?
Well, we take both. Did I give you a copy of the photo?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Read the letter. It says how to upload the file.
Okay.
For scanning versions, I'll just take them and scan.
Okay, now I can give you the PostScript file, which might be a little nicer.
That's your call, whichever you take.
Yeah, I think. Do you want the movie? Okay, it's not in any good format. I can probably put it into. Yeah, it's Data Explorer. It's just, you press the button and it goes. I'm pretty sure too. Okay. Okay. I might.
So, QuickTime or
MPEG. Okay. I can't make QuickTime, so. I can't look at MPEG or look at QuickTime either. So, right. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Nice to see movies.
Movies.
Nice to have results.
Yeah. Well, that plot I had at the end, I got this morning.